who is God? What, who is God? This is Dr. Harry Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. What, who is God? Now, we all know that we are God. We're taught that. We're taught that there's nothing else in the universe but God. And we're taught that there's nothing else anywhere but God. And God is a symbol, and God is everything that a symbol represents, and everything that represents a symbol. Now, what is God? Well, we all have sort of a cockeyed idea of what God is. What sort of an idea do you have that God is? What sort of an idea do I have that God is? Well, the first thing that is very important for me to think about is that God is all. Well, what a tremendous statement, what a magnificent awareness. God is all. You all know that. I know that. I have no idea what all is, but God is all. Okay, now, this is the testing part of it. If God is all, and all is good, what about some things that happen in the world that are not good? How do they fit into the picture of things, and how do I fit into the picture of thinking about them? The car runs over a dog and kills the dog. That's bad enough. The car runs over a dog and kills the dog. Now, I'm God. I created that happening. I created that happening. Specifically, I created that happening. I specifically created that car running over that dog and killing that dog. Now, that dog was not a good dog or a bad dog. The car was not a good car or a bad car. The driver was not a good driver or a bad driver. They were just players on the stage of my consciousness. Now, do I call that something that I recommend or something I feel good about? Do I call that something I don't feel good about? Am I touched by it in a negative way? Am I touched by it in a positive way? You see, these are all things that God does, can do, and is. Now, if I am God, and I am, and I look at the world, and I do, and the things that I see when I look at the world are things that delight me, then not bad, you know, then I like myself. Oh my goodness sakes, that was a key, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Then I like myself. Now, if, before I start out in my daily activities, I say I like myself, then I'm going to create everything, in my estimation, harmonious and good for me. I'm going to create every single experience that I have as something that I would recommend, something that I follow, something I enjoy, something I am. Now, I am God, the car running over the dog, as much as I am God, the car not running over the dog. Or I am God as much as the car going where the car goes, and the dog going where the dog goes, and everybody doing whatever everybody's doing. Now, how can I, as God, how can I as a human being, how can I as a divine being, how can I at all times experience things that turn me on, experience things that I say, and I say, I really want to believe and believe. I'm a big liar. You know I'm a big liar. I'm always telling tales. I'm always telling fantasies that I make up in my mind. And these fantasies, you say, oh, Herb, come on now. But you see, my fantasies are instantaneously in and instantaneously out. I am untouched by my fantasies. I live in the harmony of my fantasies. Now, do I see the car running over the dog, or do I see the dog running and playing in the grass and enjoying itself? Why, what's wrong with the car running over the dog? That was a perfectly good act. That was a perfectly good part of the theater of life. That was the drama of the theater of life. And oh, I love drama. Oh my goodness, thanks, drama is good. I want to watch movies that have all this sentimentality in it. You heard the word sentimentality? Mm-hmm. What is sentimentality? Oh, you poor child, you need my help. Oh.
Emotion.
Now, we saw this movie last night. What was it called?
Friendly Persuasion.
Friendly Persuasion. It's an old movie. And in there, what was the most dominant action in the movie? The most dominant action in the movie. The most dominant action in the movie was not all of the story form that we saw before and after the event, but the most dominant action in the movie was this woman taking a broom, mm-hmm, and telling this soldier, "Don't you touch that goose, that's our friend. That's our friend. Don't you touch that goose." Now, you see the drama there. That's our friend. Our friend that should not be hurt in any way. Our friend should not be whatever, you know. And what happened? He didn't touch the goose. Now, what if that woman had had that same information with her son and said, "Don't you go out and touch anyone in the world. You don't have to protect anybody. We surround this farm with our pure white light of love. We surround this world with our pure white light of love. Everything. We surround our country with our pure white light of love. We surround what we call the enemy with a pure white light of love, and we surround our allies with a pure white light of love. Do you understand?"
Mm-hmm.
But no, the enemy has to be there, because that's part of the movie of life. That's part of the challenge. That's part of the excitement. No. Do you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body? And that's a nice statement to make. If you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, you are 100% unaware of anything unlike your ideal spirit, mind, and body. You do not know a body that has even a stub toe. You do not know a mind that has even a thought of worry, doubt, care. Your mind doesn't care about anything. There's nothing to care about. You're creating every moment, everything exactly the way you want it. Now, are you creating every moment exactly the truth about yourself? And you want to do that. You want to create every single moment exactly the truth about yourself. And the only way you can do it is by speaking your word, thinking your thought, acting your act. Do you act like you're 25? Do you act like you're full of energy and vitality? What's the statement we use for that?
And vital alive, enthusiasm.
And
vital alive, dynamic.
I am
dynamic, vital alive.
I'm bubbling over with enthusiasm.
I am vital, dynamic, alive. Now, and everything else you want to say. But I'm vital, dynamic, alive. Now, do you say you're young? What does young mean to you? A baby? A child? A youth? An adult? The moment you say young, you put a category in it. You put a humanistic formula. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. That means you're, everything about you is just glowing and flowing and bubbling and doing all these things. And that's what it all means. If you're going to have all the adjectives and all the adverbs in there, it takes away the power of some of the words for you. Because you right away say, "and bubbling over with enthusiasm." And you got to get the preparation for the bubble right. Because in that bubble, it can be a gas bubble, poof, you know, a fart or something else like that, you know. But what is it you want to do? Vital, dynamic, alive. You see, you're a living expression of vitality. How wonderful that is. And you're moving, caring, being. Okay, now, every moment of your life, you have an opportunity to be that. Every moment of your life, this may come as a shock now, every moment of your life and my life, we have the opportunity to be God, knowingly. Knowingly. We tell the story how the woman is preparing her house and cleaning it up nicely, and then the phone rings and says, "Hi, I'm Jesus. I'm coming to visit you. I'll be there in about a half hour." Now, the woman believes the phone call, believes that Jesus is really going to come visit. That's part of the story, too. And so, what does she do? Does she clean the atmosphere of her home, or does she clean the dirt and dust and grime of her physical home? Does she say, "This is my divine home. I surround it with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace. All its paths are pleasantness. Everyone who comes here is filled with the joy of being, with every beautiful, good, positive thing." And when Jesus comes into her home, what's he going to see? He's going to see what that woman has in her mind, not what the house looks like. Because if Jesus went into a hovel, you know what a hovel is? A very poor home. If he went into a very poor home, would he look for dirt? If Jesus went into a home that had a dirt floor, would he say, "How come you don't have your floor swept clean and hardwood floors and so forth here?" What's he looking at? He's looking at the divine. And of course, you're Jesus. And you want to look at the divine. You're God. You look at the divine. Now, if you are going to take only a little bit of the glass of water, and you're very thirsty, but you only drink a little bit because you want to save it, you know, you have no room for more. You have no room for more. When you have a glass of water, drink it down the hatch. And when you drink it, then you have room for more. In your consciousness, in your attitude, in your life. Now, can you go through this day, and I would like to recommend that you give it all of your best interest. Can you go through this day and have every single thought, word, and deed that you have about yourself, we're just talking yourself, which says, "I'm whole and perfect. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. I'm wonderful. I'm a happy person." But that does not allow you to label anything. You don't eat food because you need it. You understand? If you eat food because you need it, then you're giving yourself all sorts of problems. Are you drinking water because you need it, because you're thirsty? You got a problem. Are you drinking water because it delights you, you just are charmed by it? Are you eating food because it's just the meal is such a lovely session, it's a time of sharing thoughtfulness and loveliness and just sharing it with each other? That's why we're at the table. Otherwise, it'd be far better if we each ate alone. If we each sat in our own little cubicle and ate alone. Because if we sit in the company of others, and we have our own very happy or unhappy self there, we are destroying the other. What should we do when we go to eat at a table? What do we say when we sit down to eat?
"This food is healthy for my body and filled with love."
Now, maybe we should have another statement. "This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. This meal company is healthy for my soul and filled with joy."
Hey.
Yeah. And every thought that I think and that we think around this table is a thought of love, blessing, harmony, peace, and joy. I mean, you know, we can create our own table blessings.
And
now, you know, it's interesting that the church, the formal church has formal table blessings. Well, who wrote them? Who wrote them? Some inspired minister, some inspired religious person wrote it. You know? It's interesting. And we say, oh, I've got to do this because that's... No, you don't. These people were inspired by the same God that you are. And you're inspired by the same God that they are. Now, are you ready to take on the task of being a divine human being? If I ask you, what redeeming feature did you get from the film last night? What would you tell me? I've already told you about the broom, which you recognize too. But what would you have said? And I'm not interested in hearing it because it's past tense. But what would you have said? Would you have talked about some of the sensitivity that was shown in the movie by the husband, who was really quite a fine man, quite a wonderful, normal man, and that he could put up with a wife who was just finding her way? She was not a spiritually illumined woman. She was working on it. If she were spiritually illumined, she'd be untouched by that. Now, you know, these three guys who came there on her board of directors, they're interesting, sleepy-type guys, but nice guys. And what was it that happened to them? They wanted to find goodness there. They did not want to find fault there. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And at first, the fault was there. But they found the goodness, even in the fault itself. Now, how glorious. And how the man rose to the occasion too. You know? How glorious. And how the little kid, so beautifully portrayed, so naive and so honest. I tell stories about my sisters. I tell stories about everybody. But weren't supposed to tell that story, you know? Well, even that story wasn't sacred because there are no secrets. There are no secrets. And there are no sacred secrets, certainly, you know. No. Are you ready to put into practice the things that we're studying here? Or are you just going to have another day of misery and unhappiness because you're sorry for yourself and you're not getting what you want? Are you going to be another Roger who went to prison for stealing his mother's TV set and buying marijuana, and then going and telling his mother-in-law that he stole the set, and so she sent him to prison, you know? And he wanted attention. So then he came to prison, and I talked with him, and I talked with him, and I shared with him, and he got his act pretty well together. But then he got out of prison, and he went to his wife, who no longer was interested in him. He knew that. He never wrote to his kids, who were no longer interested in. They didn't even know their father. They hadn't seen him for 10 years or better, you know. They had no idea what kind of a person he was, because he didn't write them. And he wanted that, and he didn't get it. He felt sorry for himself. So he wanted to go back to prison where he was appreciated. But he didn't realize he wasn't going back to the prison that he had gone into 10 years earlier. He was going into a new prison of a tougher way of doing things, where things were not so happy. And he went under a different classification. Before, he went in as a man ready to come out. Now he went in as a man ready to stay there the rest of his life. Three strikes and you're out. See, when you're going to play these games of feeling sorry for yourself, if you cannot handle it, if you cannot take care of yourself now, tomorrow it's going to be worse. And the next day it's going to be worse. And the next day it's going to be worse. And each day it compounds itself because you're expected to take charge of yourself and your attitudes and your world right now. Well, and it's in this simple form. In the simple form. When a little baby learns to say, I like me, when a little baby learns to love itself unconditionally, it loves itself unconditionally all the days of its life. when a little child is taught that it owns certain things and it possesses certain toys, and the neighbors shouldn't take the toys away, and nobody should steal their toys, and they shouldn't steal other people's toys, and other people shouldn't steal their toys, and judgment and and all of these things that go on, silly, silly, silly. Well, what's going on? Who's teaching these things to these people? The parents are teaching it to the children, but more mainly, and make no doubt about this, the child is teaching it to itself. It chose to be born in that family, in that time, to see how well it could adjust to taking charge of that game that it's playing. We often say, you don't play a game of chess, or you don't play a game of chess with a person who's your equal, because there's no challenge. You play a game of chess with someone who's just a little smidgen ahead of you on learning all the programs and how to do things. And how does the best chess player play the game of chess?
With themselves.
Each play he makes is by himself. The great chessman from Russia, he would go around to a dozen chess tables, and he would take a moment, study what had been done, and then act upon it like that. And he was right. He would go to each one, and he beat them all. Because he did not think, what's this guy going to think? What's this guy going to do? What's this guy? He thought his thoughts, and he thought his thoughts in such a way that the other person was thinking his thoughts. And he was jeopardizing the other person's men, making them feel they had to act in a certain way to protect themselves, where they could have done it just as easily with something else. And he wants to get them confused. Not so much get them confused, he wants them to think what he wants them to think. Now you should move over here, because this is what is good to do, because that'll protect everything. And they move over there, and they don't protect everything. They protect everything obvious, but they forgot about this little pawn over here who was behind the lines, who could jump up there and become a king, become fantastic, become a queen. Interesting. And it's all in our mind. Now, our healing for anything at all is in our mind. Just like we told Endless in Nigeria, know that it is not lost, and it is yours now. And so, that morning, he woke up, he said, it is not lost, it is mine now, and he went right to it. He didn't know where it was. He didn't know where the papers were that they were looking for, but he found them. But you see, he is so naive and so innocent and so beautiful that he just practices what he says. What did he say about the life and teachings of the Master of the Far East? It was fun! It was fun! Now, what does everybody else say about it? Wow, there's deep spiritual inclusions in there. There's wonderful things going on. Wow, wow, wow. And for him, natural. This is fun. Why? Because he's a child. He's a child. I don't know, he turned 21, 2 or something, whatever it is, but he's still a child. And he's improving in his childness every day. Every day, in every way, he's getting more and more aware of who he is. And that's exciting. Okay, now recognize that you are God, and you can think good or bad. You can think positive or negative. You can think uplifting or feeling sorry for yourself. Thoughts, anything. It's perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay to be a human. It's perfectly okay to be divine. It's perfectly okay to be God. It's perfectly okay to be the devil. That's all part of this universal complex here. But, Heinz, if you had the opportunity, and you do, to live or die. If you had the opportunity to swim across the river, this fast flowing river, and it could drown you because it's very fast. It's faster than you can swim. What would you do? Would you drown and say, I give up? Or would you swim with the current, letting the current take you with it over to where you want to go, maybe several miles downstream from where you want to be, and you can walk back up there. But let the current take you, and let all of the experiences that are going on guide you and bless you, and not take your life, but give your life a little bit of excitement, you might say, a little bit of things. Now, Heinz, you're caught in this current of water, and it can drown you. And what would Donald Simoto do? He'd walk on it, wouldn't he? He'd walk on the water. Or what would Donald Simoto do?
Smooth water.
What did Jesus do when he was in the tempest, the weather? They're out in a boat, and the wind and rain and everything came, and he just said, "What?
Peace."
Mm-hmm. Could you say that, Heinz, while you're drowning? Peace. Could you say peace? Right in the light of the most terrible experience in the world, a bullet's being shot right at you, and you say, peace, and the bullet goes, yeah, the little boy in the movie, the soldier wanted to give him the bullet that shot him, and the boy says, I don't take bribes. I mean, now, we knew, but we didn't expect that he knew that he was being bribed. But he's a master at bribing. You know, he's a master at that. He's a kid, and he's working his way around. Now, how do you play this role? How do you play it? And how do you play it? You? Are you God, all of God? Or are you only the troublesome parts of God? Are you only the unhappiness of God? It's up to you. Whatever role you want to play, and whatever role you want to play, that's what you're playing. And I might tell you at this point, I'm not very nice. I see right through all of your exterior. I see right through it to your purity and integrity, your original purity and integrity. And it's just sitting there in quiet repose, waiting for you to recognize it too and call it forth. Now, do you want to call forth the games you've been playing? Or do you want to call forth your original purity and integrity? If you want to call forth your original purity and integrity, you got to give up all of the old ideas, give up all of the old paths that you walked. You know? And I know you hate me. You have to hate me. Because I told you, if we hold on to any pictures of the past, we're living in the past, with all that the past is, was, and has for us. And if we live in the past of unhappiness, if we live in the past of anxiety and tension, then that's where we are. And if we live in the now of peace, harmony, love, joy, all the good things, wow, then there is no other time or place but here and now. And that's the kind of God I like to talk about in my 3-hour meditations. That's the kind of God that I explain to people that I'm having a conversation with. Neil Walsh wrote a book, Conversations with God. And it was his approach, and that's good. But now, don't read somebody else's book, mine or anybody else's. Read your own. What is your walk as God? Think about it and live it today, and know that I wrap you in my love, and I see it done for you now, because I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.